next week we'll get back to more internal spiritual kinds of looking at things. But it was eating at me a little bit, and I remembered a piece that I wrote for Time Magazine online that went viral, entitled "I Want My Religion Back, You Can Keep the Ugly Baggage." And so I took that piece and worked with it a little bit and have expanded it, kind of just give some of my own personal thoughts on how it feels to say that I'm a Christian, or that I want to say, or if I don't want to say, and some thoughts that go along with it. So I've entitled this, "You Can Keep the Ugly Baggage," and I'll start with a confession, kind of rich, a minister making a confession. I have a hard time not just telling people, I have a hard time telling people that I'm a minister. So I actually tend to handle it this way. People will come up to me if I'm traveling or something and say, "So, what do you do for a living?" And so my response has been, I'll first say, "I'm a minister." And then I give it a few minutes for them to think all of the things that they're going to think about me because I just said I'm a minister. And then I say, "But not the kind of minister you pictured in your head." And I know that's sad, but honestly, it's worse than that. I just like our commenter last week, I'm very resistant to calling myself a Christian. And worse than that, I'm not even close to the only Christian who feels that way. It's so bad that I have this conversation with people all the time. There seems to be this sort of believer like me radar that goes on that lets people know that I'm an okay person to talk to say that I don't like being called a Christian, that C word bothers me. You'd be actually amazed at how many people resist calling themselves Christian, or maybe a lot of you actually wouldn't be surprised. Some of you are probably exactly the same. That C word just isn't what it used to be. A number of researchers over the last few years, or last several years, most notably David Kinnaman and Gabe Lyons, in a book called Unchristian, have found that the word Christianity has more negative connotations than positive ones, at least in the minds of the general public. Let's just try a few of those connotations on for size. Hypocritical, irrelevant, anti-homosexual, judgmental. You know, I'm just going to stop there because that does get a little depressing the further we get into the list. Several years ago, I had this 3-month sabbatical that I was able to go on. And I decided at the very beginning of that sabbatical that I would not go to church, which is very strange for me. It's something up until that point that I had never done before in my life. I had never missed more than 2 Sundays in a row in my entire life, ever. And honestly, that decision worried me a little bit, which is sort of why I made the decision. I found, though, as I entered into it, that I didn't need to be worried. But I actually did end up missing church. I didn't miss church, but I missed parts of church. I missed the people, the actual church. But I simply didn't miss what the church had become. I didn't miss the dogma. I didn't miss the hypocrisy. I didn't miss the judgment. I didn't miss all the stuff that Jesus didn't like about organized religion in his day. Go figure, right? Now, during my sabbatical, as I spent 3 months away from church, I was left with this thought. How am I supposed to follow Jesus' teachings when the place I'm supposed to do it invests so much energy into the stuff that Jesus didn't like about organized religion? Seems to be counterproductive. It's no wonder that so many people are walking away from church, never looking back, and in doing so, finding their lives to be a little bit happier. The C word just isn't what it used to be. The reality is, when the rest of the world can rightfully look at the church and call a percentage of it hypocritical, judgmental, and irrelevant, and say that it is much more defined by what it is against rather than what it is for, well, then the church is not doing a very good job of following the teachings of Jesus. My time away from church helped me see more clearly that the church is increasingly full of churchians rather than Christians. It's become so tied up in the power structures and the dogma of the organization that it's lost focus on the Christ part of Christian. And all too frequently, it puts polity before people. It trades love in for law. So, I don't actually like telling people I'm a Christian. It's not that I'm ashamed of being a Christian. I'm not. Not at all. It's just that the word Christian comes with so much ugly baggage. Telling someone that I'm a Christian means immediately following it up with, but not like that kind of Christian. It's like saying, yeah, sure, these are some mind-bogglingly ugly suitcases, but I've got the coolest stuff inside of them, really. It's just not worth the effort. And frankly, I'm tired of all the ugly baggage that it causes me to have to walk around with. Truthfully, I don't blame people who assume that if you're a Christian, that you're anti-LGBT, anti-abortion, anti-equality, anti-other religions, and pretty much anti-anything that one small but loud subset of Christianity finds offensive or threatening. It completely makes sense. It's why I don't want to use the word to describe myself or my own beliefs. I sort of get why people don't. Who can blame people for thinking that Christians are all anti-everything kind of people when politicians representing themselves as speaking for Christians accuses gay people of not only threatening the sanctity of traditional marriage, but claim they are pedophiles who want to freely prey on little children? I get it. I really do. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. So, if that were the only option, I honestly would just opt out. And I'm not alone. As I've mentioned, a whole slew of Christians are opting out. A 2012 Pew Research study indicated that while the number of people who identify as Protestant or Catholic are decreasing, the number of people who consider themselves religious but identify with no formal religion group, that group of people is on the rise. An earlier study, the one I mentioned from the Barna Group, defines that the biggest part of the problem are people in the church, and many of them who believe that the church is judgmental and hypocritical. When looked at together, the findings of those two studies actually make a lot of sense. An organization whose primary religious figure taught about love has become known for being judgmental against any group they don't like. Is it any surprise that Christians have become seen as hypocritical? Christians are being viewed as hypocritical because many of us are. Not all of us, of course, but you wouldn't know that by watching big media. Tragically, big media and most of its consumers have no interest in the coverage of the food pantries and the other programs across the country that take care of and feed hundreds of thousands of people every week. I want my religion back. I guess technically it was never really taken away from me. It's more like it's been hijacked and it's being held hostage in all of that ugly baggage. Not surprisingly, things like politician fear-mongering about how the gay people are coming for your kids are what the networks want to cover. I mean, let's face it. When the baggage carousel starts going and rolling around, you're going to pay attention to that neon green baggage that has in bright pink letters crazy written across of it. That 26-inch wheeled gray or black piece of baggage, no one's going to pay any attention to at all. Christians who want to be known more for their love rather than for what they are standing over and against need to more fully acknowledge the reality that I've been talking about and begin actively speaking out against it and working against it. What we see in the media isn't Christianity. Christianity's core teachings are supposed to be based on the teachings of the words of Jesus. The anti-everything Christianity that we find on television and radio and in print would remind Jesus much more of the Pharisees than it would remind him of the people actually trying to follow his teachings. See, ultimately it's a power play. As Napoleon once observed, "Religion is excellent stuff for keeping the common people quiet. Religion is what keep the poor from murdering the rich." When you see someone who has or who wants power, who is claiming that they follow the teachings of Jesus, when they are saying things about Christianity that causes them to hurt other people, when they create divisions, when they state beliefs or support policies that marginalize the already marginalized groups, when they say things that would allow one group of people to exert their will and their power and their beliefs over another group of people, you need to immediately question their sincerity and more so their motivation. Here's the thing. Jesus would have advocated for none of those attitudes or behaviors. However, they are most certainly tools through which those who already have power maintain their power while keeping those without power divided and bickering amongst themselves rather than focusing all the attention that they need to on the small fraction of the rich who are nurturing systems that make life unnecessarily difficult for the rest of us, which is also something that Jesus would not have been an advocate for. Wasn't a fan of ugly bags. He confronted Pharisees at every turn when they tried to unload it onto him and onto others. If those of us who still consider ourselves Christians might be hesitant to call ourselves Christians but still want our religion back, are going to try to get it back, we are going to have to do the same thing. If we want a Christianity that doesn't come so unnecessarily cluttered with all of this ugly baggage, we're going to have to start standing up more consistently and begin challenging those power plays that are wrapped up in religion. Collectively, we need to more closely follow the lead of Jesus and lovingly confront those who want to turn the Prince of Peace into a dividing and marginalizing tool. Every time that someone tries to exclude a group of people they dislike in the name of God, we must pronounce the radical inclusion of a loving God. And when they accuse us of being unchristian, and they will, you must stand strong and tell them, you no longer get to use that word. You've used it and abused it and crucified it on crosses of hate, greed, power, and control. We're taking our religion back, way back, all the way back to the teachings of Jesus. Your chance to respond to the message or to give other thoughts on the topic. Are there those who would like have something they'd like to say?
Thank you. I'm Annie. I have to make notes. I'm learning a new skill. But I wanted to say that I always felt this Sojourners group, as it was called in our birthing days, was a very kind and loving group toward one another and toward others outside. They were caring for each other and the less fortunate, and it had been known as a church that serves before the Sojourners came. They were seeking to be less judgmental of others and inclusive, and then speaking of inclusiveness, the people in the group had different ideas and different visions of what God was or what the Creator was or whatever they wanted to call Him. And that was okay. Yeah. You know, everybody had a right to their own belief system. Mm-hmm. I felt like maybe it was a time of reformation, that maybe this was a growing movement that would get us away from the dogma of the church, the judgmental part of the church, the baggage, as you call it. And I would have liked to have seen this group grow. And, of course, we lost half of our group because we were deemed unchristian. I think the group was trying to live a meaningful life according to their beliefs, and it was short-circuited. I would love to see this group be alive and growing again with the idea, we've even been called post-Christian. And I don't think that was a bad description, because we had gone past the point of doing prayers, dogma, responses, to actively seeking more meaning in life and how do we get there. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to thank you for today's sermon.
Thanks. I'm Sue, and I'm following up on that and perhaps going to get a bit heretical in the process. Knowing that we are beginning a process of self-examination, and the points posted up on the wall in the fellowship room include one that I know is, I mean, I know they've been there since you came, strengthening ties with the presbytery. And my experience is that the presbytery has seemed much more concerned with whether we're following the Book of Order than whether we're following the teachings of Jesus. And I wonder what the implications of that are for this process that we are going through. Is strengthening ties with the presbytery something that we really want?
Right.
And also, just to be sure that we don't get into being too self-congratulatory about what great folks we are, I think there's a whole lot that Jesus asked of us that none of us have had the courage to do. And that it is easier to think only about our personal spiritual well-being than about the rest of the world.
Others.
Thank you, Mark. I think that what you said today doesn't call for concise response to a certain extent. But I've always felt that to be a whole person, that you've got to have a spiritual component within your life. And for the most part, the Christian church, or the church of our experience, as we once called it, was not a place that was very helpful in developing that. So I thought what you were talking about this morning was the way you develop spirituality to a certain extent is, and become more meaningful, is by the questions that we ask, rather than the answers that are thrust upon us by the dogma and the more sanctimonious elements of the hypocrisy. So thanks for that. I'd like to see us explore. This group, I think, came into being to explore an alternative to the other way of doing things. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see us be able to explore that and take a lot of what you said this morning forward.
Okay. Thank you. Liam in the back.
Just a story that was in the public radio coming to church this morning. There was this, it happened to be a Baptist minister, but it could have been a Presbyterian, a Methodist, anybody else. But as he was taking his son to school, his son said to his dad that he was gay. And he said he reached over and hugged him, and as he went to preach at his church, he knew he had the responsibility of changing his way of thinking in his life. And to make a long story short, the church split, and one went one way and one went the other, and he went with the group that was accepting people who were different, and how happy he was.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we are seeing, is that there are increasingly churches that are willing to finally step up and not be so judgmental and to be more inclusive. That gives me a little hope. Stories like that remind me of it.
I see we're almost out of time. I'm Elsie, and thank you, Mark. This is a topic that could be discussed for a million years. Well, not really, but I think I'm going to think a little differently about how I think about myself in terms of this question of what am I? And there is a fundamental problem with the word Christianity from my understanding that when you call Jesus Christ, you've already set yourself down a path of Jesus being God rather than Jesus being a person who challenges us in how we think about and respond to the world and how we think about ourselves.
Yeah. And if you take Christ with the traditional meaning, like what it's become, that's definitely true. I see the word a little bit differently. But I completely agree. Based on what most folks mean by it, it also comes with baggage.